Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Friday, March 15th, 2024. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the two words that they start here in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? That chapter of the book contains a narrative description and explanation of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 19 years now to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. You can click the link, download it, print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again absolutely free. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And if you choose to do that before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you choose to tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app. That app contains the Reality Management Worksheet. It contains an abbreviated version of that worksheet process. And it contains a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. We hope people do all of that soon and often, primarily because it tends to improve the quality of people's lives the more they actively apply these tools in their lives. And secondarily, because it tends to prompt comments, questions, answers, and testimonials. And if you have any of those to share with us, we would appreciate you doing so by giving us a call at 563-999-3581 and press 1 on your phone once you've called in, or you can send us an email. You can email me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org, or you can email Jeannie at jeannie@whyagain.org. That's whyagain.org. And if we get a comment or a question from you in an email, we'll address it on the Internet show, and then as time allows, send you a notification about what day and time that occurred so that you can listen back to the archive for your feedback or input. We also greatly appreciate whenever anybody does that, whether they call in or they send us an email, because that makes it far easier for us to live into our intention with this work. The intention we have with this work is to be of service, and that's just a lot easier to do when we get feedback. should also mention that there are a whole host of audio files available for download and listening, even repeated listening, from that same webpage, whyagain.org, and click on the two words that say start here. And those audio files are of shows where people have called in to this internet show and either asked clarifying questions about the worksheet process, or they've actually been stepped through the worksheet process, or in some cases, people like me have given a report about a series of worksheets they've done between shows and explained the dynamics that were revealed, etc. So if you choose to and continue to listen to those, you can basically turn them into a tutorial for you so that you can get maximum benefit from the use of those tools in the shortest amount of time possible. And that's our goal with all of this work, is to help people step into a better life experience moment to moment with the application of tools. And it is the application of the tools that is of the most benefit. It is hard to imagine because we are so clearly taught the opposite of what is the truth of what we need to do in our culture. We're taught we need to figure it out. We're taught we have to use our mind energy, our intellect, to figure all of these things out. And nothing could be further from the truth. We cannot figure out what's going on and what will result in optimal benefits for us with our conscious logical mind, because that's not where the problem is. As people have pointed out, David Bohm and Krishnamurti, both one a physicist and one a spiritual teacher, and they both came to the same conclusion, that there is a fundamental error in the process of thought. And so once we have a problem in our mental, emotional life, it's being created by that fundamental error in thought. And the more we think about it to try and fix it, the more we create more of a problem. This is what David Bohm refers to in the term he coined, sustained incoherence, which is it's woven into every reality management worksheet, every seven-step reality management worksheet. It says, here's this issue that comes up where the replicate part of my mind just keeps doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for different results, and it's called sustained incoherence. So we had someone in our support group last night who, very bright, very well-intentioned, has a problem and wants some solution to the problem, and was stuck in the let me figure it out mode. And I interrupted the figure it out mode processing and said, the only good solution here is to simply apply the tool, not speculate about, well, could this be related to this trauma in the past or that trauma in the past? The use of the tools are specifically designed, the tools that Michael and Jeannie make available, are specifically designed to bypass the conscious logical mind and that process of sustained incoherence and show us something that we cannot see when we're stuck in the figure it out mode. And I could not have asked for a better outcome. I couldn't have scripted a better outcome. So that person was willing to step into the use of a reality management worksheet. And what, you know, this is a fully adult person, and she stepped into the use of the worksheet and then canceled the goal, identified the thought and the goal and the emotion, canceled the goal and asked to be shown the hidden part of her mind, and she saw something from a very young age in her life, probably over 50 years ago. And it was a very powerful moment in her life. All those years ago, it was a very powerful event that she had registered as traumatic. And she could instantly see, after she canceled the goal and the thought and quit trying to figure it out with her conscious logical mind, she could instantly see how it was relevant. And yet, there's no way any of us, no matter how bright we are, no matter how long we've been doing therapy, would be able to help a mature adult woman in a 20 or 25 minute session pinpoint a difficulty that was from more than 50 years in the past. I've been doing therapy for almost 50 years now, and I don't know anything in the conscious logical realm that would help even the best therapist ever to figure something like that out. So it just highlights the power of these tools. It highlights the power of getting out of the intellect and getting into the open heart space. It highlights the power of asking to be shown rather than demanding an answer and trying to figure something out. I'm grateful beyond words to have access to these tools. And any other tool that helps me bypass the conscious logical and tap into the implicit emotional knowing that's buried in each of us, which always keeps us stuck in any unproductive pattern. And once we see it, once it's, you know, we shine the light of conscious awareness on it and we see it clearly and truly, it literally loses its power over us. This woman in that support group last night had rated her upset level at a 7 out of 10. And at the end, it, you know, just one slow, careful 20-minute, 25-minute worksheet process, and she was down to a 0 level upset. And she had 3 or 4 other worksheets outlined that she could do to relieve even more of the upset that might be in her system related to different thoughts, different dynamics with different people, et cetera. So there aren't really any words to express the power of these tools. The only way to get access to it is to just step into it for yourself and trust that, you know, when you are willing to use a tool rather than try to continue to force your mind to show you something that it, from the conscious logical level, that it just doesn't have access to, the more you're willing to use a tool, you know, relax, release, allow, immerse and allow, whatever phrase you want to use, the better things will go. And the more you'll get access to things you just can't get access to any other way. So our call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. I've thought extensively about the conversation we had yesterday with Susan, and one of the things that kept coming up for me was that when I was in my first year of graduate school, they required us to participate as members in a group. Now, this group was made up of people who were studying for their doctorate in clinical psychology. And so they had to be very careful, very explicit and careful about saying this is not a therapy group. If you need therapy, go get therapy. But this is not a therapy group. Instead, this is what they called a communication group. And it was a very intense setting. Everybody there was desiring to eventually become a clinical psychologist. And so we were, you know, in a group, and one of the leaders of the group was always the dean of students and the clinical director of the school. And then there were co-leaders with that person, a male and a female in each group. But it was like a 2.5-hour group experience or a 2-hour group experience every Tuesday. And then there were assignments between that where you were to write some kind of feedback to every other group member. And these groups would be 12 to 13 members. And since the call yesterday with Susan, I just kept flashing on an experience I had in that group where I've been one of those people most of my life who just jumps in with both feet and says, okay, I'm here, let's play. And I play full out, right? Somebody says, here's an exercise. I get in the exercise and do it. And somebody says, okay, here's a worksheet you can do, and I try to do it. Here's a targeted journaling you can do. I try to do it. Michael Rice has his intensive center. I say, okay, I'll go down there for 9 days at a crack, and I've been there three or four, I forget it was four or five times, and I was that way in graduate school. So it was very intense, very tearful, very emotional often in those groups because the pressure was high and we're trying to learn about ourselves and we're trying to learn about our communication skills, our blind spots, our core issues, etc. And I remember being in the third trimester. It was a year-long program. And I had been active and vocal, and I thought I'd learned a lot. And I was in the third trimester, and I just absolutely broke down crying in the middle of one of these group sessions because I realized that I was doing the same unproductive dynamic that I had been doing in the first semester, in the first trimester. And the group leader recognized that I was upset and said, what's going on for you, Tim? And I said, well, I just saw this whole thing, and it just clear as day. I'm doing exactly the same garbage that I was doing in my own head. I wasn't ruining anybody else's life with this, but I was stuck in the same unproductive pattern, judging other people, et cetera, but doing it privately. And I said, so I haven't learned anything. I'm dead in the water here. I probably should just drop out of the program because I'm not learning. And he chuckled and he said, well, there you go, leading the group again. And I said, what are you talking about? And this is, remember, this is through my tears. I'm thinking, this guy's lost his mind. And he starts talking about how when we're willing to look at our issues, we grow and change, even though we don't know we're growing and changing. And when we find our core issues, we're not going to ever be done with them. We're just going to, if we're willing to keep working with them, we will just get better and better at dealing with them over time. And I said, what's that got to do with me? And he said, well, if you think back to the first trimester, he said, we had, you know, 12 other people in the group trying to hammer away at your defenses and teach you about this and get you to accept this problem. And it took quite a while in that first trimester before we could get you to see what we could see that was unproductive in your patterns. I said, yeah, I remember. It was really painful. Thanks for bringing that up. And he said, and here you are in the third trimester. You're seeing it yourself before it spills out into the group and creates a disruption. And, of course, it took me months to actually let that in. I left that group not feeling so good about myself, but months later I realized, oh, he's probably right. So when I think about the conversation yesterday and the intensity of responses, that's what keeps coming back to me, that any of us who are willing to talk about these things openly, show our intensity or upset, we're opening the door. What Michael Rice says that Yeshua threw a door wide open. It's an energetic door. It's been thrown wide open and can never be shut again. We aren't going to instantly resolve all of our issues, and yet the willingness to look at them and keep our breath moving while we process them and work through them is it's the be-all and end-all. It's the only thing that'll ever lead to growth, and it's the prerequisite, and it's the first and the last step that's needed. So I had somebody on the phone again on a video call this morning. I was doing a session with another patient who is just brutally hard on herself. And I interrupted and said, please join me in trying to support yourself in cutting out that negative self-talk. It's completely unwarranted and unproductive. Not only is it not accurate, but even if it were accurate, it wouldn't be helpful to beat yourself up that way. So, here's to those people who are willing to take a breath and stay in the game and turn the focus inside themselves and work to understand their own processing more and more day in and day out. So it's a big thank you to the people who attend the group last night. Thank you to those of you who are listening on the internet show today. Thank you to Susan for your processing yesterday and questions yesterday. And this is it. This is why I slow down so much in going through the Way of Mastery, because that's exactly what the Way of Mastery is about. It's not about reading a book. It's not about being able to quote the chapter headings or the exercises in the book. It's about using the suggested steps, perspectives, questions, exercises to usher myself into a different experience of life. And that's what all of this work is about. And that's why we're grateful that people are here joining us in that process. And as always, we appreciate when people call in or send us an email about that, questions and comments. Even, as I've said before, even if I'm in the middle of reading something or seem to be in the middle of a monologue, please feel free to call in and press 1 on your phone and add energy to the game, to the system. So again, it's 563-999-3581. Call that number and press 1. I've had my my old brain cells stirred up. Somebody just sent me an email. I haven't heard from this person in years, and I marvel at I talk about this on a regular basis, the way people come and go through the support group, and they just disappear. They seem to be, you know, highly invested and getting benefit, and then one day they just stop showing up. We just kind of never find out where they go. Michael Rice talks about this. He occasionally has somebody come back who's done work with him 30 years ago or 10 years ago or 15 years ago, and he hasn't heard from them in all that time, and then they just show up again. So it's the kind of thing that I was trying to say to Susan yesterday in the call, that it's okay. you're fine just the way you are. If you want to pick up the tools, if you have the energy for it right now, go ahead and do it. If you don't, that's okay too. I am not one of those who subscribes to the idea that you better get going, you're going to run out of time, it's as urgent, and I don't subscribe to that. I resonate with the teachings like the Way of Mastery that say, you have free will. Live your life the way it seems best to you. And we'll be here holding the space of love, recognizing your true nature as love whenever you're ready. Whenever you decide that's something you want to use your mind energy for or use your time for. And I have never resonated with the teachings that say, you better get off your duff, you better get going, time's running out, etc. Because it's not really the way life works, as far as I can tell, and this whole thing we call time is just a product of thought anyway, and the teachings like the Way of Mastery say, look, you've never been born, you'll never taste death. You are the extension of love in form. You're infinite and eternal. You shine forth as a sunbeam to the sun. You are the effect of the Creator's loving energy, and you're here for the purpose of extending that energy. I'm flipping through the book here to get to the lesson four where it has that specific quote that Susan was referring to yesterday so I can read it without my distortions or my interpretations. The book says, when next someone asks you, who are you? Please do not give them a name. Do not say, well, I was born in a certain town, in a certain part of the planet, etc. Do not tell them you're a Democrat or a Republican or a communist or an atheist or a Catholic. Tell them the truth. Who am I? I am the extension of love in form. I've never been born. I will never taste death. I am infinite and eternal. I shine forth as a sunbeam to the sun. I am the effect of God's love, and I stand before you to love you. That's the quote. That's what they suggest that you say to people. Talk directly about your true nature. And then the text goes on and says, now that will raise some eyebrows. It will also transform your world. For it is time to stop seeking Christ outside of yourself and start choosing to take responsibility for being Christ incarnate. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go up to strangers and intrude upon their day and tell them that. It doesn't mean that you have to say that all the time. It does mean this is a call in this work to wake up to the truth of that for yourself. And even if you never say that to another, but you're thinking it inside your own mind, it will transform your life. Just like in Lesson 9, there's this part that, you know, isn't listed as an exercise, but it really, you know, to me it resonates. It's another wonderful exercise to just be in the moment. And when you encounter another person, before you say anything, just take a breath and ask to be shown your connection to the person in front of you. And then you won't see a stranger in front of you anymore. You'll see somebody who has longed for connection the way you long for connection. You will see somebody who longs for love the way you long for love. And it's just as simple as a breath and a thought before interacting with someone. They talk in Lesson 9 about how the power of your thoughts is essential. It's primary. And it's not that life is so complex and you've created all these momentums and now you are stuck with them. In any moment that you understand the power of your thought and your power of the power of creation in, contained in your thought, you can stop reacting as if you were a victim. And you merely look at the ripples that are coming back to you from the thoughts you've chosen in the past, and you say to yourself, oh, these life experiences, these energies are coming into my field of experience as an awesome mystery. This means that I am an awesomely powerful being. And I will look lovingly on my creation, which is this ripple coming back at me. And I'll know, yes, it needs to play itself out. And as it's playing itself out, I am not a victim. I'm wise enough to see the transparency of it. It's just an experience in a moment of time. And I'm wise enough to see the lack of any deep effect that it really has. It doesn't change who I am. It doesn't add anything of value to my life. It doesn't take anything of value away from my life. It's merely an experience called life passing through the field of my awareness. If I look lovingly upon it, if I embrace it, I can transmute it. And therefore, I can already be engaged in the process of creating a whole different kind of vibrational ripple that will create my tomorrows. It's not so complicated. It's pretty easy. And again, it's pretty simple. It's not easy. Again, I like to talk about how digging a ditch is not a complex thing. It's very simple. And yet, it's a lot of hard work. I have to take time and energy to focus my thoughts and awareness, and I need to put shovel in and dirt out right where the last shovel went in and dirt out. I need to do that consistently over time, planning the direction that I'm moving in. It's not complex. It's very simple, but it isn't easy. It takes that commitment. It takes that diligence and willingness. So, it's the same thing here. This is not a complex system. This is a very simple system of reminding yourself before each breath, I and my creator are one. I remain as I was created to be. My choice of my focus of my mind energy is a creative act. What would I choose to create? What would I choose to communicate to myself and others that I value most in this moment? Am I going to choose to communicate that I value anger? Am I going to choose to communicate that I value fear? In Lesson 9 it says, you know, let your third dimensional experience be governed by this question. What do I choose to communicate to the world? With every gesture, every breath, and every word spoken, with every single decision made, what am I choosing to value and communicate to the world around me? It's just an invitation. You don't have to do that. You're going to be communicating. You're going to be creating. You don't have to ask yourself the question of what is it I'm communicating and creating. You can walk around in unconsciousness. You know it happens. Lots and lots of people do it. You can see a lot of the effects of people doing that for pretty much morning till night in our culture. And as Michael Rice likes to say, the work is the invitation to move from creating unconsciously without being aware that the thoughts I keep pouring my mind energy into are actually the creative force that's giving me the experience of life moment to moment. And we're all doing that, whether we're conscious of it or not. But the invitation in this work is to wake up and become conscious of our creative forces and of the choices of what we're pointing our mind energy into. The 10th lesson in this book says the way is easy and without effort. That little exercise I was mentioning is in the 10th lesson, and it says, so if you sit in your chair, if you decided to do your 5 minutes of abiding as a Christ, after that, say to yourself, here in this moment, I am free. Heaven is now. The past is passed away. And I'm going to choose again. I'm going to choose anew in this moment. This day I commit myself to teaching only love. How do I do that? By choosing to share only my loving thoughts. It doesn't mean I'm not going to have unloving thoughts, angry, hurt, scared, sad thoughts. I'm going to have them, but I'm not going to share them. I'm not going to pour value into them. I'm not going to pour my mind energy into them. I'm going to notice them. I'm going to breathe and soften, let the energies flow through me, and I'm going to consciously choose to share only my loving thoughts. This day, I'm going to look upon every person that comes into my experience, and before I say or do anything in relation to them, I'm going to take a breath. Breathe deeply into the presence of the Holy Spirit, and I'll look out through eyes that have been transformed by the simple knowledge, the acknowledgement of the truth that all minds are joined. And I'm not looking at a stranger anymore. I'm going to see somebody who's another being of brilliance and light who has yet to discover or has temporarily forgotten their brilliance. And the person in front of me walks as I walk, feels as I feel, longs as I long. That person in front of me is humbled as I am humbled. That person in front of me prays for peace the way I pray for peace. And in that next moment, I will extend to them the very peace that they seek, because I will be treating them from the knowledge that they are just as I am, that we are all one, that we are all connected, we are all part of this flow of life. And in giving that to another, I receive it myself. That's an exercise. It isn't listed as an exercise, but it's an invitation. Prior to every breath, connect with Ruka Dakusha, the elemental force specific to humans that's there to break off the effects of your errors in thought and guide you to truth and happiness if you just ask it to. Now that phrase, that series of phrases comes from listening to Dr. Michael Rice talk about the translations from the Kabbalist manuscript, that Ruka Dakusha is this elemental force specific to humans that's there to break off the effects of our errors in thought and guide us to truth and happiness if we just ask it to. Guy Finley, in one or more of his talks, talks about how your creator didn't put you in a world where you have to search your entire life for some kind of a guru or some kind of a connection to wisdom. You know, you don't have to hike the Himalayas and search through caves until you find the golden yoga mat to sit on, which brings you your enlightenment. He says, your creator put you in a world where your instant, constant connection to the forces that can teach you will never abandon you if you just ask to be taught. It's the same wisdom. they've both been tapping into the same kind of source material. So this work is an invitation to change the way you're spending your mind energy, spending what, how you decide to use your body mind. This is an invitation to step into the awareness that everything you choose to say and do and feel and think and every action you take is a powerful form of communication to everyone around you. And just as kind of a bonus, it ends up creating what you're going to experience in the next moment and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. The glory of a book like this is that it wakes us up to the fact that if we stay stuck in our intellect, we'll never get out of the rut we're digging. By the time you get to lesson 12, it circles back to what it says in the first lesson. And lesson 12 says, the way of the heart has been designed to bypass the cognitive or the thinking mind and to strike at the roots of fear that abide in the depth of a mind in a place that is by and large unconscious. I pull from this work this awareness that fear is not present in the awakened heart, that fear is the product of the misapplication of mind energy, of thoughts, of the intellect, of the conscious, logical, rational mind, whatever you want to call it. That's the only place fear is generated. In a moment where I happen to be out in the woods and a wounded bear, you know, jumps out of a pit and starts to try and claw at me. In that moment, there's no fear. There's either an action that helps me survive or there's the end of the physical being. Fear is a product of thought after the fact. If I survive the first attack, if I'm running, if I start thinking about, oh my God, what would happen if the bear caught me, et cetera, then with my process of thought, I generate fear. In the moment, there is no fear. If I'm living in the moment, there's no fear. And I just flashed on the series of jobs I had for, you know, probably close to half my career because I was young and strong and tall and handsome and the girl from Ipanema goes walking. No, anyway, I was 6'4", and I was strong and flexible, and I had this calm demeanor, and so I was in a lot of these places where they called on me to help restrain people and help people get out of difficult, threatening situations. And I'm just here to tell you that time after time, those situations would unfold, and people would ask me, how did you do that? And I'd have no idea how I got through it and nobody got hurt and everything got resolved because I wasn't thinking about it. I was just acting. In the acting in the moment, there is no fear. Fear is a byproduct of thought. So this work says the way of the heart is designed to bypass the way of the intellect because in the intellect and the use of the intellect, you find fear. And the way of the heart's been designed to bypass that cognitive thinking mind so that it can strike at the roots of the fear that abide in the depths of the mind that is largely unconscious and dig them up and throw them out. The acknowledgement is that fear is a demon to be cast out. The fear is an alarm system to tell you your thoughts are off the mark. It's not something that's intended to drive your decision process or your choice process. Michael Weiss would probably say, when you're in fear, you don't have choice. When you're in fear, you're acting from that automatic decision-making part of your mind. So, you know, just think about that. If I don't have thoughts about something, I don't create fear. I can't even begin to tell you how many times in the past almost 50 years of doing therapy, I've been working with people, and I've learned by, you know, in my, about how to do this in my own life a lot by watching other people, how they create extraordinary amounts of discomfort, psychological pain and suffering, fear, because they sit and pour mind energy into thoughts about something that hasn't happened yet and or something they've got no control over. I probably spent 30 of the years of my life doing just that and becoming a master of it, procrastinating and worrying about it and triple guessing what someone's response is going to be if I would say this to them or that to them. And finally, it got to be so torturous for me. And I'd heard enough of my really good mentors tell me, you know, hey, you know, this is what you're doing and you might want to choose differently. And I started to just face and make quick decisions to step through things rather than delay them and run from them and generate fear about them. And to my great satisfaction, that process yielded tremendous results. I ended up seeing time and time again, oh, it was never as bad as I had feared it was going to be. And then that just helped me generate the motivation to start charging straight ahead into situations and finding resolution one way or another. But, you know, the truth of life is that nothing is ever as bad as I fear it's going to be when I'm running away from it. So, we're being invited to understand that the way of the heart is specifically designed to bypass the intellect and give us some exercises and tools to help identify and then dig up not just the surface, but the roots of the fear that we are creating. And to understand at deeper and deeper levels that whenever I'm experiencing fear, it's because I'm pouring my mind energy into something that's just not true. And even if it is true, I'm creating fear on top of, and I'm going to say here, fear is a debilitating energy, not an actualizing or a strengthening or a creative energy. I'm pouring that debilitating energy on top of a difficult situation. So I make it even harder for myself to respond in a clear, intelligent, focused way. So it says that from the very first lesson where it says, hey, look, here's your first axiom. It's on page 5. It says, you don't experience anything except the effects of the choices you've made. And, of course, the conscious logical mind jumps up and say, that's crazy. I would never choose this, that, or the other thing. And so 3 or 4 paragraphs down on the same page, it says, we understand your objections, but we just want you to know that the way of the heart is not the way of the intellect. The way of the intellect is just an aspect of your mind. It was never designed to be your master. It was designed to be a very simple servant, a tool you pick up and use from time to time. your wide open, awakened heart is designed to be your go-to. It's designed to be your primary interface, the primary user interface between you and life. Well, so what is the heart? What is this thing we call the awakened heart? They define it as the heart is that which feels all things. It embraces all things. It trusts all things. And it allows all things. The heart is that energy space in which the soul rests eternally. The heart is that which is beyond space and time. The heart is that spark of the light of the mind of the Creator, which is called the Christ. And only in that spark of the mind of Christ, only in the heart awakened, will you find peace. And I get it. I have people who come to the support groups. I have people who show up in my caseload, and they're going through things that they really don't want. They're either physically painful, or they're financially strapped, and there's a lot of hurt and confusion about what's happening with their finances, or they're, you know, as we keep hearing on this internet show, they've got family situations that no one would choose. There's all kinds of drama and trauma and upset. And these are real issues. These are real struggles people are going through. And in this work, we acknowledge that that's real. We also acknowledge that if I pour my mind energy into wanting it to be different than it is, I just add suffering on top of the discomfort. If I breathe and soften, if I immerse and allow, if I ask to be shown from something other than my conscious logical mind how to deal with this in a useful way, how to be a blessing to myself and others, I start to step into an entirely different experience of life. That's our invitation, to recognize that when my mind is telling me anything, anything my mind is telling me while I am in any kind of pain, fear, or sadness, whatever my mind is telling me is not the truth. That's a real challenge for a lot of people, but I'm here to tell you that the more I recognize the truth of that, the better my life gets. Whenever I'm upset, the truth of the fact of the matter is my mind is lying to me in that moment. Area code 610. You're in the air. Susan?
Hi, Dr. Tim. Not much time to ask this question, but it's been in my mind ever since yesterday. How, when you just read that last thing or said about the heart, do you have to feel that? Do you have to feel that connection? Or just, is it enough to know it, which sounds like the intellect again?
Well, you know, I guess, as you're saying, you know, it would take a little bit more time to sort this out and ask clarifying questions, and we've only got, you know, like, 4 minutes until the changeover.
Right. I know.
But I
yeah.
think I think the first thing I would say is that in the beginning I don't feel it. Right? Mm-hmm. The thing that just flashed in my mind is what I've been telling people quite a lot in the past few years about as I'm introducing this to them and I say, here's a worksheet process and here's the 4 or 5 step short version of Michael Rice's 7-step worksheet process. And I get to the point where I say, and I just say, I cancel the goal. And they say, what? They have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I say, I get it. And your mind won't know what that means to cancel the goal. But we just start by saying, I cancel the goal. I cancel my need to be right. I cancel my need for anybody to change. And we just keep saying that as we breathe and soften. And if you're being coached to breathe and soften and relax while you say those words, you start to have an experience. And often it's the kind of an experience you've never had anything like it before. So you start to learn as you go through it, and then you begin to feel. But you don't feel it right away. That wasn't my experience anyway. I didn't, you know, just pick up a worksheet and say, I cancel my need to be right, and all of a sudden, wow, transformation. It didn't happen that way.
Yeah.
But I saw other people who were using the tool and saying, wow, it really works for them, and so I would give it a try. And the more I tried it, the more I would stumble across a situation where things would actually seem to change a bit, and then I would say, okay, maybe I'll keep doing it a little bit more.
Kinda so you're like, basically saying, if you don't feel it, you've got a goal. You might not know what the goal is, but you've got a goal, and the goal is sitting right in front of the open heart. That would feel.
Perhaps you could look at it that way. What I was trying to say is that it's akin to the idea of fake it till you make it, right? Just keep trying the process, use the tools, even if you're not quite sure what they're going to do or what the value is in them.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same as fake it till you make it, because I'm not faking the use of the tool. I'm just using the tool even though I don't fully understand it yet, or I don't really comprehend how it might lead to something even more revelatory or transitional. But I just keep using the tool. And then
I start
to have an experience that's different. And then over time, as I keep having these experiences that are different, I learn. Mm. But I learn through living it. That's the best I've got for you. So excellent question. I'd be happy to explore it with you more next week. Thank you for your calls and questions. I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. And I'll turn on the microphone for and welcome Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. I appreciate you. I hope you have a good weekend.
All right. Same here.
Thanks. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. Today is Friday, March the 15th, 2024. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you in the queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and questions, because that makes this your show. And we'll give Michael just a moment to dial in, and I'll invite you to go to the website. Excuse me. Excuse me, had to cough there. Didn't want to cough in your ear. So we already have a couple of hands up. That's awesome. And we'll get to you in just a second. Give Michael a moment to dial in there. If you go to the website, whyagain.org, and there's, I know I've said this before, but over on the left-hand side, there, or the right-hand side, there's the Kaboris. And if you drill down a little bit, it says Enlightenment Study, and that's where you'll find all of the archives since we've been doing the Enlightenment. And this coming weekend is tomorrow and Sunday, is Mind Shifters and Stillpoint Breathing. We've had some extra people join us, which is awesome. And if you would like to participate in that, then either drop me a line at Jeannie, J-E-A-N-I-E, at whyagain.org, or if you've got our numbers, call us, and we'll get you registered and give you the information that you need for joining us in that. It's been very powerful. We actually have 11 people right now that are participating besides Michael and myself, and it just keeps growing. And Michael calls each person, like if he hasn't already, he'll text you tonight and get you to choose two numbers and to start working on your mind shifter before tomorrow. If you're not familiar with the Mind Shifters, on the website there's actually a list of three sections. And so you would pick the first number, 1, 2, or 3. And then each section has 13 Mind Shifters in it. And so your second number would be 1 to 13. And that's kind of a blind way of picking your Mind Shifter. And it always works out great. Because if you go through and you read all the Mind Shifters and you pick out the one that you think you need to work on, then it's usually not. What happens a lot of times in live intensives is people will pick numbers and Michael will read out the Mind Shifters, and it never fails that somebody will say, oh, I want theirs. I don't want mine. But it always works out. And for the people who have joined, most of them are on for a year, they get what we call an expanded Mind Shifter list. Every month we send them one more list. And Michael, what are we up to now, 23? I believe that
23 is what we'll go out today, yes.
Yeah.
So, I'm just finishing up 23.
That is actually a plus for those who are in it for the year. They just keep getting Mind Shifters. Michael said eventually he's going to turn it into a book, and it just keeps growing and growing. It's awesome. And if you're interested in that, we do have a couple hands up, Michael, but if you're interested in trying a Mind Shifter, then pick two numbers. And you could actually pick from 1 to 22 and then pick 1 to 13.
Actually,
and those two
actually,
numbers. Uh-huh.
Actually, make it 1 to 21. I'm working on 22, so that one's not complete yet. So.
Oh, okay. So 1 to 21 and then 1 to 13. And that would be your Mind Shifter. And what you do is you write it on the left side of the page, and then you just do a brain dump on the right side without trying to analyze it or critique it or anything. You just dump anything and everything that comes to mind, even if you don't think it pertains to it. And then that you can go back later and look at it, and you'll see worksheets that you need to do for things that came up that were dumped out of your unconscious onto the paper. So welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. And our definition of a mind shifter, you know, most people call what we call mind shifters, pardon me, most people call affirmations, but we have a totally different approach. Where the average person uses affirmations, a thought that is not true, but pushing it, hoping it will become true, is what most people do with an affirmation. What we suggest is take any affirmation that you've ever been attracted to use and turn it into a mind shifter. And a mind shifter, we define that as, it's a thought about an issue in your life around which you have negative thoughts, and it's the opportunity through resonance to surface, process, and release the negative thoughts, which makes room for the affirmation to become an actuality. You work through what blocks the affirmation. And one of the things we know is that what resonates, the body of energy that resonates in the mind, determines what the mind contributes to creating. So let's say I have an issue about any issue. Let's say, well, the one I usually use in the workshop is money. So we've got somebody who's, always broke. And somebody gives them a mind shifter. I have enough money. I have enough money. I have enough money. I have more money than I need. I have more money than I need. And somebody goes around yelling that, reinforcing that. Well, you can push that and make that the strongest energy. But if it on the surface mind, on the conscious level, but if on the unconscious level, in the hidden part of the mind, there's information or an energetic dynamic of a lack of money, then the affirmation about money will tend to reinforce or resonate. Remember, don't think about the color of your car. What moves in your mind? Something about the color of your car. Don't think about a lack of money and what moves in your mind, or think about an awesome amount of money that you have. If there's lack in there, that's what's going to be resonated by it, and that will tend to be what expresses in the world. So instead of ignoring the hidden part of the mind, we call that premature positive thinking, use an affirmation to resonate the hidden part of the mind. And so as Jeannie was saying, you divide the page in two, and just 1 second, someone's calling me, and I need to put that on hold. So the mind shifter, you write it on the left-hand side of the page, divide the pigeon two. And then on the right side, write everything that comes up in response to it. And just let yourself totally focus on that. You know, make sure your phone is off, you're centered in your own space, and you just let yourself write and write and write and drop into deeper and deeper hidden parts of your own mind. This is just a tool, a way to access the unconscious. And, of course, once you've accessed the unconscious part of your own mind around any given issue, you now can take that part of your mind and apply the tools and clean it up. So produces a different result. So that's kind of the bottom line of using MindShifter. So if you pick a number from 1 to 21, that will determine which section the MindShifter will give you is from. And then if you pick a number from 1 to 13, because there are 13 MindShifters in each section, that will tell you which... Just one second here. That will tell you which MindShifter you get. So if you've got a MindShifter for us, if you'd like a number, push 1, and we'll tell you. And the reason we use this system of selecting MindShifters through numbers is rather than going to my mind or yours trying to figure out what needs to be done, the MindShifter gives you the opportunity or the guidance we ask for as you are looking for your numbers is that you pick the right two numbers. And thousands of times we've had people picking numbers and it's always just goes being right on to what needs to be dealt with. So the 21 sections on the MindShifter list are healing into aliveness, healing fear and hostility through forgiveness, creating from abundance, healing into eternal life, healing death, source esteem issues, healing generations, dealing with power person issues, living without perception and memory, partnering in sweetness, approval, and love, healing the issues in my tissues, healing blame, healing regulatory speech, being on purpose, healing issues around people dying, living as love, overcoming a beguiling ego, healing family traumas, on becoming the observer in my life, healing power person dynamics, healing addiction. So those are the 21 different sections. And section 22, which, as I say, I haven't completed yet, is processing parental energies. So if you'd like a MindShifter, push 1. Give us 2 numbers, a number from 1 to 21, and then a number from 1 to 13.
There's 2 hands up. I'm not sure if they're left over from Dr. Tim, but we'll check.
Let's go for it.
The first one is Miss Celinda, 541. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Welcome,
how are you today?
How can we support you today? We're rocking.
Yeah, we're rocking here, too. The sun is out, and it's warm.
Nice.
Anyway, in reference to yesterday's conversation that Dr. Tim had with Susan, I wanted to share what my experience is showing me now. I'm like what Dr. Tim said about fake it till you make it, because that's kind of been my mantra for many, many years, about 30. Except it was really slow. It's been really slow making it. And being aware that that wasn't about being hypocritical for me. It was about saying, well, I'm just going to doing this until it becomes real for me. It becomes, I make the connection.
Yeah. You might want to look at the fact that your mind plugs in the vibration of hypocritical there. That there might be something.
Right, right.
Remember, my words fly up, my thoughts remain below. The fact that in the context of that conversation, your mind injects the word, oh, there's nothing about hypocritical. There's probably some denial about some hypocrisy there that would probably be beneficial to look at.
I don't feel that way with what I'm saying.
Well, I wasn't suggesting you felt that way. I was just inviting you to look. Your words tell us there's something going on. That's all.
Right. And my words, very often I don't communicate very well. I am aware when I'm being hypocritical.
Yeah.
to the best of my ability, and I try to, I do my best to make it, to be aware of that, observe that, and go into why am I hypocritical. But anyway, yeah.
Well, let me give you an example. Let me give you an example. You've probably heard me use it before, but, you know, I'm heading to Florida to do a workshop at the last of May. On God's green earth, if I were talking about going to work, to do a workshop in Florida, why would I say I'm not going to Maine? Oh, well, you know, I'm not going to go to Maine. I'm going to do a workshop in Florida. Obviously, the only reason my mind would inject something about Maine is there's something firing in brain cells about Maine. Otherwise, I mean, there are 8 billion places in the world I could mention. The only one I would mention would be the one that's firing in brain cells. So my invitation would be for you right now to look at resistance, which I've observed happening before. And you know, I'm not saying it's absolute or true or anything else. I'm just inviting you to look. And the measure of your resistance to the idea says there's probably more to it than you want to look at. And so it's just an invitation to take a look and, you know, maybe do a mind shifter or do some work around hypocrisy, because if there was nothing in your brain cells about hypocrisy, as you're talking about what you do, you wouldn't bring that word into the conversation. So it's a really valuable tool. It's not an accusation or anything like that. It's just a tool, just a way to observe. Regulatory speech is a key part of how to step back from our own minds to become the thinker apart from the thought, the feeler apart from the feelings, the actor apart from the actions. And so as you watch your mind, and I say this because I've watched hundreds of people when they can receive that, and I've watched myself when I notice an idea comes in that I have no idea has anything to do with this situation, but my words bring it up. Oh, there's a signal. I need to look at that. So that's all I'm offering.
Well, thank you, because you've said that before, and I haven't I haven't experienced in my conscious state the reactivity, and I'm seeing now how, yes, I could be much more conscious about my words and question what's going on here, and so that helps, perhaps because I am so afraid I'm going to be a hypocrite. So like I step out of the norm, I do something which is counter to what my culture expects from me, and even if it's just one tiny step, and I'm afraid of some sort of judgment about being a hypocrite. That's very possible, and I can link that to an actual event. I've mentioned this before.
Mind shifter?
I'm sure. I would love one. In fact, it's funny. I was thinking of asking you for one.
Cool. Did you have two numbers in mind?
Well, 9 is the first one that comes into mind.
Okay.
And I'm going to say 13 because that's the first thing that came into my mind.
Okay, 9, 13. Just give me 1 second. And then we'll give
get a piece of clear paper here.
Okay. 9, 13 is in the section on living without perception and memory.
Oh,
and
cool.
The mind shifter is, yeah, the mind shifter is every destructive expression of hostility and fear
Every destructive expression
of hostility and fear in the world reminds me.
A little bit slower than you in the world.
That's okay. We're not in a rush.
Oh,
we have time.
Thank you. Because
reminds
I've been
me to forgive
all my life.
Yeah, we can slow down. We have plenty of time.
Okay, so every destructive expression of hostility and fear in the world reminds
me to forgive. reminds me to forgive as to.
Okay.
My perception. And stay connected with my source. Comma. My true being. Dot, dot, dot. Love. Exclamation point. So every destructive expression of hostility and fear in the world reminds me to forgive as to my perception and staying connected with my source, my true being, love.
Okay. Every destructive expression of hostility and fear in the world reminds me to forgive as to my perception and stop and stay connected to my source, love.
Yay.
I had almost a Freudian slip there.
Yes.
Would you like to hear it?
I heard it. Stop instead of stay. Go ahead.
Instead of perception, what I started to say was perfection.
Hmm. Cool.
And
so
I
if we
have
read
to,
that perfection.
I would, yeah.
So let's read it with that. Every destructive expression of hostility and fear in the world reminds me to forgive as to my perfection and stay connected with my source, my true being, love. That makes an interesting shift there.
Yeah, because perfection is a big issue with me, and I never this is how I perceive it in my mind, is I can never measure up. So what's the use of even trying, you know, that sort of feeling. And I, when you said this, I was thinking, oh, this is about self-forgiveness. This for me is about self-forgiveness. And I want to share with you that what usually happens when I get something this long, I get lost halfway through it. So
I'd write down the thought that you just expressed. I'd write that down on the opposite side of the page for that mind shifter.
I better write it down or I'll forget.
That's why we suggest writing it down. That's exactly what happens. I know I've worked on them before. I think, I'll remember that. And then 2 minutes later, it's like, what was that? What was that? It's gone.
Right. Right.
Your mind covers it up very quickly.
I would like to share with you some of the life experiences I'm having. Some of them I got an inkling of, like an insight about, maybe even 30 years ago or more. I like to fake it till you make it, and I'm still obviously have more learning about it for myself as I slowly make my way. I think I mentioned some of these before, but these were specifically what I came up with when I listened to Susan and Dr. Tim yesterday. I'm learning that the difference between smart and wise, or as the Dalai Lama said, smart is knowing what to say, and wise is knowing when to say it. I'm never sure when to say it, and so I withhold when it needs to be said, and I blurt it out when it's inappropriate to be said. So that's an interesting experience that I'm playing with now, or new learning. I am learning.
Sounds like that one might Sounds like that one might tie into that hypocrisy issue, too.
In what way?
Of someone catching you in it. You talked about that. In fact, I've got a mind shifter for you on the hypocrisy thing if you'd like to write it down.
I hope it's not too long. I have half a page here, a short page, kiddie page. Okay.
It has always been a wondrous experience. When someone has caught me in hypocrisy, it has always been a wondrous experience when someone has caught me in hypocrisy and condemned me for it. What's happening with your breath?
What's happening with my breath? I'm breathing. And very often I catch myself not breathing, and then I start to breathe. So I am breathing now. I don't tend not to breathe when I'm writing, I've noticed, for whatever reason. And this really doesn't matter whether I am, in fact, being hypocritical or not, does it?
Right. That's the first thing to go on the right side of the page. That's exactly right on. That's the kind of response we're looking for. And you follow that thread of thought, and that's what will take you into unconscious dynamics. And who knows, this kind of a mind shifter may lead to, you know, accessing an early experience, or maybe even a genetic memory of someone being harmed when they were accused of being hypocritical and there was no hypocrisy involved at all. That may be what the healing is about. That's why there's no, you'll remember when we did the codependence intensive, the number one pseudo solution of the non-being mind is, if I could just figure this out. And the reason you can't figure it out is because there are so many energetic dynamics when you, you know, just take one person with all of our genetic history, then put it beside another person with a separate genetic history, and the way those two things interact, the permutations are endless in number. And so there is no way in God's creation that the 9-bit mind is ever going to put those energies together in a way that, quote-unquote, figures it out. But it can always, whatever it is, be forgiven.
That is such cool beans.
It is. It really is. And, you know, when I, every time I think of it, and actually the more I work with it, the more time goes on, the more I see its impact, the genius of this man who offered, your perception is driven by goals. The appearances in your mind don't get lost in them. You collapse them by canceling the goal. It's just so monumentally important. And if we could just make that one piece of information available globally, the world would change in the snap of a finger.
And I'm realizing in relation to the smart and wise quote that I forget to ask to be shown is when I get into trouble. And, you know, and being vaccinated with a Victrola needle, which most people won't even understand anymore.
Right. Yeah, that was an old process.
And there is, I feel a desire to go to the library and find out the original derivation of this word hypocrisy, because I have a feeling it's a Greek word. So that would be interesting. And
probably
also
would be
my
interesting to look up
right now that, pardon?
That probably would be an interesting search to do.
Yeah. I like to do that because if that seems to bring me more clarity for myself than anything in relation to the meaning of words and in relation to that saw about, that old saw about we all say the same words and speak a different language. So that
yes.
would be interesting for me. Another thing I'm noticing is I'm shaking. And I'm, you know, I've told you about my tremors before, and I've discovered that unless I'm actually hypoglycemic and some, well, reactive hypoglycemic, I could be hungry, actually functionally hypoglycemic or reactive,
right.
is that I shake. And so I thought, because I am very aware that I have closed down my throat chakra, the thyroid. So, and what your chart says about the thyroid is very informative. I've never seen it expressed in that way before. It's like opening up a new possibility for
but
my
you know,
healing.
One of the things they used to do, speaking about being vaccinated with the Victrola needle, one of the
right.
things they used to do, and this is like back in the 50s, is if, let's say, there was a child and they had to open the child's chest, let's say maybe it was for heart problems, they would find this huge thymus gland, overgrown, deformed thymus gland, and they'd cut it out. They'd do a thymectomy because they had never seen a normal thymus gland. In an adult, the thymus gland ends up being walnut size. Because it shrinks in the presence of fear. One piece of documentation that I saw, and it's a long time ago, so I couldn't even say where it came from, but one was that they showed that the thymus gland would shrink by 50% in a 24-hour period where there was an attack of fear.
And
you think
I noticed
about that.
That because the thymus on your chart, it has to do with fear, and the thyroid has to do with rage.
Yes.
Anger.
You
rage.
Think about
anger,
the person.
Which I, yeah.
You know, you think about the person on the battlefield that lays dead beside the one who's been shot, but there's no wound, and the intense energy of fear literally can shut down all life functions, and the thymus is the first thing to go. I mean, literally 50% in 24 hours in an attack of fear. And, you know, back in the 50s, they didn't know what a normal thymus gland looked like. And, you know, they thought they were overgrown in kids. And then they realized, no, that was the healthy thymus. Hypocrisy, by the way, feigning to be what one is not or the belief that one does not, behavior that contradicts what one claims to believe or feel. The false assumption of an appearance of a virtue or religion.
Well, here's how I relate this to my fake it till you make it. When I realized that I was never going to be able to be in connection with the community or my friends and family even in relation to issues around vaccination or not being vaccinated, because that was a head issue, and I was butting up my belief system against theirs when I really didn't know, and they probably didn't either. So that's when I started to do a deep dive into my heart. And what I did, Michael, was I made a choice that I was going to see, I was going to grow into seeing everyone as love and grow into my seeing myself as love. And what I could do was just go around and say, honey, sweetheart, dear one, what you say on the radio show. And I could make it humorous by saying, hey, I'm going to be 80 this year. So I have a license, And people right. will look at me funny, and you can kind of see them squirm a little bit because you just don't go up to someone you don't know or
right.
something and say, well, dear heart or dear one, you know, blah, 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 whatever the situation is. And what I'm finding is because I thought if I grew into, if I used my words and my mind energy, even if I didn't feel like it, to express verbally some sort of affection for them, that it would help their lives and it would hopefully change my life. And what's happening now, I've been doing this for a couple of years, and what's happening now is I'm beginning to find fruits within myself and within mm-hmm. the people I've talked to. Like, for I've been one young woman who is has had a hard time of it, and another person who called me sweetheart back, you know. It's just magical. And at the same time, right. I consciously do my best to be aware that I might be perceived as hypocritical, see myself as hypocritical. And I just notice that and allow it and say, I will grow with this.
Breathing with you.
Yes. I have a kind of a chesty condition today, so that's good. Okay. I'll take a good deep breath.
Oh, yeah, good idea. And I'll take one with you. And I'm actually kind of smiling internally because this dialogue has opened a new direction of thought for me. Because, and I'm not sure exactly where in the conversation the word hypocrisy fell, but it was either just before or just after you used that word that you proclaimed that you were a hypocrite. You said you were a hypocrite. And the word hypocrite in our culture is usually, you know, and I never thought of it differently, is usually a negative connotation. But actually, you're using the word, in a sense here, hypocrite, in a positive connotation. I'm going to fake it till I make it. That's hypocrisy.
Right.
But it's a positive use of hypocrisy, not the negative one. So I'm just kind of smiling internally at how all that fits together. Yeah, I never saw that.
Yeah, that's sweet, isn't it?
Yeah,
because
yeah,
I'm making a conscious choice to work through
to be a hypocrite.
My fear. Yeah. Right. And taking it out, like you say, out of that negative connotation, which brings us right back to the first or to the second mind shifter you gave me. It doesn't matter. What matters is my consciousness and what I choose to do about it.
Yes, and I'd write that on the right side of the page with that mind shifter.
And be about it.
Because you also made a comment about when you've been, I'm not sure exactly what word it was used, but something akin to when you've been abused for being accused of being a hypocrite. So there's still probably some energies there to process out with that mind shifter, but that just enlarges the whole picture, definitely. So. Good work.
Yeah, thank you for that. Like, we're painting a broader canvas here.
Yes, yes.
May I go on with my other thoughts that I had?
Go for it.
Okay, this is just my personal life experience, and I'm just still growing in this area. But I remember way back, 60 years ago, reading the Bible, and somehow in some study group learning that the Hebrew word for no was actually life experience. It was a reality experience.
To know as in
Bible.
K-N-O-W?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I have the experience. That makes sense.
But we have made it in our cultures, and maybe it was a Greek culture thing, we have made no being be an intellectual experience with the mind. Oh, I know this. What we're actually saying is, oh, I have this information or this belief system in my brain, so I know all about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely, but without the experience.
And then, right. And then it's the heart energy is the emotion. Emotion, you've talked about this. Emotion, it's that energy in the heart area, the unconscious, or the unconscious being made conscious of energy. That's why I mentioned to you about us being liquid crystal diodes when I got so excited about phospholipids and the skin of the membrane, and that the skin of the membrane is the one that lets in, that is the interchange between transmitters and receptors and all of that. I went, oh, wow, that's so
It's
cool.
all energy.
I know.
But, you know, it's interesting in that regard, it's interesting that, you know, they've always thought of the DNA in the cell as being prime and the interior of the cell being key. But what they found is that they can take the interior of a cell, they can clean everything out of the interior of the cell, and the cell will go on functioning just fine. But if they use an enzyme that will dissolve the receptor sites on the cell, the cell fails when the receptor sites are gone.
A disconnect, Michael.
Tell me more about that thought.
It's just the disconnect. We disconnect ourselves from source. We put
exactly.
an enzyme
yeah.
in us, but our enzyme is gunk. That just screws up our receptor sites. And the transmission can go on into eternity. Unless we clean up our transmissions, our receptor sites. Amazing. So may I continue?
That's why the antenna. Thing? That's why the antenna of the body is so important to be in alignment. Proper orientation, proper alignment is key
right.
to literally living in what the Aramaic peoples called prayer. Which meant to set a trap for God. That when we are oriented, when we have our set properly, then we literally capture the active energy of love in which we live, move, and have our being. And that's when we can fulfill what we're designed to fulfill, and that is to pour the active presence of love into the world. That's what we're designed for.
I have feelings running through me right now. I am exploring them. What are they saying to me? What I'm coming up with at this moment, I'm shaking. And I've always negated that with, I mean, I've always associated that with fear. But what if I'm just experiencing life energy that I have not, or I am not quite capable of processing calmly yet. It just was a thought that jumped in my brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being able to handle the energy that's moving in a world that
right.
says you're not even supposed to know those energies exist.
Right.
Can create a lot of trepidation.
Okay.
Or be the reflection of a lot of trepidation, you know, being shut down. No, you're not allowed. No. We know, child, that you live in the world of energy and you know everything that's going on around you and you tell the truth about it. But now we want you to lie for us and not know what's going on or pretend you don't. And if you do, you're going to get punished for it. So shut
yes.
that down. And
yes.
basically, we live in a culture of liars. And the most basic lie that virtually every person in the culture has told 1,000 times, and you can put the word behind it, whatever word it is, whenever somebody has said, you made me,
right, right.
they're lying.
I'm really
lying.
Working on
it's
that
a,
one.
The whole culture is steeped in a lie.
It's like salmon going upstream to try to spawn. just to be true to yourself, or to be allow yourself to experience the truth about yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go on to the third one, sir. The third level, what I call the three levels of knowing for what I'm experiencing in myself. I have no idea if they're true or not. I just know my life works when I remember this. Greg Braden really helped me with this when he talked about the prayer of blessing, the lost mode of prayer of blessing. And he said that emotion plus belief or thought plus the emotion, the heart energy, together make feeling. Feeling is that knowing experience, and feeling will always be a body experience, and it will determine the action that the body takes. I'm paraphrasing this in my understanding of it now at this moment in time. So for me, it's that old Maxwell House coffee commercial again with the percolator, the old-fashioned percolator, which hardly anybody even knows what they are anymore, except us oldies, the youngies, those of us, and who are here to be the elders for the rest of those of us, but we got to find our eldership first. But anyway, the idea of the percolator, where the coffee's put in the top, so it's like the inside is put in the top, and then it goes down to the heart level as the energy percolates, and the heart level is the to me, the inspiration. I'm just using words now because I'm trying to find metaphors. And then the down into the bottom of the pot, that's where the action is. That's the end result. That's the fruits of it all. Until it becomes this process of knowing becomes our actual life experience and how we respond to life, we're not done knowing that particular knowing yet. Does that make sense?
Not exactly, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah. It's like it's what Jesus said, Yeshua said. It's like, by the fruits you shall know them. Oh, my coffee's done. In this one tiny area.
All right. Well, any other thoughts for you today?
The last one is, but I have become aware over the years, and I am diligently attempting to be conscious every time I say but in a sentence, because I have become aware that for me, but negates everything in the
negation.
First half of the sentence.
Yep.
And so I want to make sure
denial.
That but is real. I mean, is actual, is practical. The butter is in the refrigerator, but it's still frozen. So something like that. That's not a very good example. Perhaps you can think of a better one. There is a legitimate use for but we have used but in relation to our resistance.
Yeah.
And we don't even know we're negating what we just said.
Right. Well, we can get off our butts and just go from there.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Maybe we could put B-U-T-T in between the first half and the second half. There you go, Michael. And I am complete.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, young lady. Well, you have a blessed one.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
All right. Have fun with those mind shifters.
Oh, yeah.
Especially that constructive use. I've used that before. I've suggested people fake it till you make it, but I've never thought of it as constructive hypocrisy. So, and we've got an example. That's cool. Yeah. All right. You have
down.
A blessed one.
You too.
All right. Take care.
And
all right, Jeannie,
get a hug from that man of yours.
And I will.
Oh, we've had about, I think we've had three or four of them this morning already. So, yeah, we're rocking. We're keeping our quota up.
Yeah, you need 12 for thrival, you know, 8 for maintenance.
There you go.
And 4 for survival. There you go. You're good
All right.
to go. Bye-bye.
All right, blessings. Bye-bye.
Awesome.
All right, Miss Jean. And
the next one is Susan, and her hand also might be left over from Dr. Tim, but we'll check. Welcome, Susan, 610. You're on the air.
Hi, it's not left over. I did want
Welcome.
To ask you, thanks. Thanks for yesterday, too, all that stuff.
You're most welcome.
I wanted to ask you for a mind shifter, but not one of the numbers, something very specific. I have made myself
okay.
a mind shifter. It is safe and healing for me to feel affection for Michael, our Michael. And I'm absolutely stuck with it. And I wondered if you could tweak it in some way. I just thought it would be so nice. Here we've got this perfectly okay person. I mean, maybe not. Maybe he isn't okay, but whatever. It's not up to me to know. If I could just enjoy him and appreciate him instead of dealing with all kinds of tightness, and then I do my wake-up sheets, and I'm telling you, it's just an ongoing thing. Any ideas?
Yes. Well, let's do it two ways. Let's first of all, how about picking a number from 1 to 21?
Okay.
What number is it?
Well, I had picked two numbers quite a while back, and
okay.
they're 9 and 9.
Okay. Let's see how that fits here. So 9-9 is I willingly allow my past to be removed.
Wow. Okay.
Sounds like the answer to your question.
Goodly part of it. Keep going. This is good.
That's it.
I've got that much. Well,
that's it.
That's 9 and 9.
That's 9-9.
Wow.
I willingly allow my past to be removed, and my offering would be what comes to mind for me is everything that you're seeing about Michael is from your past, and that's
yeah,
what inhibits your affection for Michael.
Okay. Okay.
And
we
so I'd say if you just allow your past to be removed, work on that one, and, you know, whatever it is that Michael's bringing up for you, as you allow it to be removed or forgiven, then the natural state of us as human beings is that of affection for each other. And I think you'll find that affection restored. And the only time it will disappear is if another piece of your past is resonated by something you do in regard to Michael or something Michael does in regard to you or someone else in the world around you.
Okay. That's good. I don't like it at all because it is so good.
I love it. You know, there's this, there may be just an odd off chance that there might be a resistance in your family system that might be reflecting back to you from some other people in the family.
Oh, could be.
If you have a sense of who I'm talking about.
I have a sense of who you're talking about. You know, I have blocked a certain person, but the only blocking that isn't complete is Messenger when I am one of several people being blocked. I want one of several people who are being addressed. This person we're talking about is very eager to get us into therapy and correct our terrible ways. And the fact that I'm already in intensive therapy 2 hours a day with you and Tim Hayes and constantly, you know, using one or another of many tools is not of any interest to him. Somehow he's wanting to tell us to change our ways so that a goal he has can be met. And it's not going to be met under these circumstances. But this blocking on Facebook the Facebook kindly says, you are part of this chat, but you have blocked him. Would you like to be part of this chat? You can be part of the chat and this person won't know or whatever it is. And I'm sitting here thinking, I want to know what he says, but I don't want to know what he says. So I'm in a very,
right.
You know, I'm curious all the way along because I care about this person. Boy, talk about, it is so hard, going back to the first person, so hard to feel affection for this person, even though I want to kill him, I love him.
Mm-hmm.
I feel love for him. I feel affection for him. So anyway, that's just what's going on. Thank you for the mind shifter. I don't need to stay on because I haven't done it yet, but I'll give you the report.
Well, one of the pieces of wisdom that was offered to me yesterday was that what and the rest of the family needs to do is go to Codependence Anonymous. Or then there was a change in conversation. Maybe NA would be better.
What's NA?
So, Narcotics Anonymous.
Oh, a straight...
It's like AA, NA.
Yeah. Why the change?
I don't know. That was just in my extended conversations. There was a great deal of co-therapizing you and what you needed to do because, I mean, he's just got it all figured out. He knows. I mean, he's a psychotherapist already.
Yeah.
He's got it all figured out.
Yeah. Okay, well, I don't know what to do with all that at the moment.
We'll probably just breathe and allow the past to be removed.
Okay. There's an awful lot of it.
Yeah, that's the game. And holding the space.
Thanks.
All right. You have a blessed one. Tell Tim we said hello and
thanks,
give him a hug.
Michael. Okay.
All right.
Thanks,
take care. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, Miss Jeannie, we've got about 4 minutes left. Do we have anybody
and
else?
There's not another... There's not another hand up, but something, I've jotted it down. I didn't catch the whole thing, and I think it was yesterday. It might have been day before. And this might fit in with what you were talking about with Susan about the past experiences not allowing affection for present. But the part that I wrote down said to stop projecting on my past, and I can't find the rest of the video yet to hear the whole thing, what it was in. Do you remember that, or can you add to that?
Excuse me, say it again, sweetheart.
It was, what I wrote down was, stop projecting on my past. I'm not sure that that's exactly what was said, and I don't know if you said it or the person you were talking to said it. But it rang something in me, but I couldn't quite get it.
It rang something in you in terms of some of today's conversation?
No, just when you said it the other day or when they said it the other day, it was just like, oh, I need to write that down. And what clicked, and I'm not sure this is what was being said, is that we project what's going on in us now, we project it on our past sort of as a blaming or whatever to keep from actually looking at the present.
So the context that comes to me is that would be in the space where here I am, I live in a world of actuality, a multi-trillion bit world, And I substitute for that world of actuality a construct from my past, which could properly be called, and especially if I'm trying to fight against it, could properly be called Satan, the resistor, one who misleads. When I'm allowing something from my past to be substituted, a construct in my mind that I put in front of actuality, does that fit with where you were going with it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, as long as we're living in carbon-based memory, by definition, in order for carbon-based memory, just like a computer, to be able to put something up on the screen, it has to be in the computer. So by definition, it's from the past. And if I allow that past to overwrite my present, then I void my ability to be in the presence of active love. And by collapsing my past, like the constructs of my mind, by collapsing projection, perception, through forgiveness, I move that out of the way so that I can be in the present. And it's like that's where everything transforms, everything transmutes, just by allowing the present, the actual present moment energy into my experience. So that's what comes up for me as you share that thought. I hope that fits. And we are down to about the last minute. So if you have any other thoughts.
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. Have a blessed one, and we'll look forward to talking with you on Monday. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.